flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trade anybody or trade for anybody, it's going to be for the stretch five out of Chicago. And he's a great player, but I think his defense is about on par with what we have right now in the center position, which is not great.
Yeah, I think it might be even worse. Nate, thanks. It's a good call. Appreciate it. I do think that might be one of the more intriguing answers Steve Kerr gave us earlier when I sort of asked him to weigh the whole offense versus defense thing, which is like, okay, you guys need help on offense, but you're a pretty good defensive team. How do you weigh that? And it sounded to me like Steve was saying, I've always leaned defense is more important, but. And he kind of indicated that he feels like whether it's this year specifically or if there are just changes in the NBA, he's like, I'm not saying you try to go out there and outscore people, but at the same time, the way things are going this year, that offense needs to be prioritized, and right now the Warrior group is clearly not good enough.
He kind of went like back and forth a couple of different times. He started the answer by saying what you said, essentially, you know, I've always believed defense, but our issue this year has been offense. But then he talked specifically about GP2 and Looney, and he said, well, to watch what they did last night, it's kind of hard for me to go back on my long-held belief that defense is more important, because those two and what they did defensively was so impressive. He ultimately at one point said, Willard, quote, you see a game like last night, you just go, hey, man, we need these guys, meaning Looney and GP2 specifically. They have big impacts on winning. So he said what you said, but then he also followed it up and saying, last night was kind of the game where it proved me right. Defense is more important.
Well, right, except for when he says, you see a game like last night and you want to do XYZ, and I'm like, right, and how often have we seen a game like last night?
That's a good point.
What, like 3 times out of 47 games?
And not since November.
The energy of Steve Kerr, and for those of you who missed it, we'll have it again for you in the 5 o'clock hour. The energy of Steve Kerr, again, just me, just a read, a gut feeling, and talking to somebody over the phone. But the energy of Steve Kerr stated, we love these guys, you need these guys, but I'm sorry, we've arrived at a time where we have to do something to get more dynamic offensively. And You can't get into trade conversations in the NBA right now if you don't show up to the party with expiring contracts. And that's who's expiring.
The Warriors have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 contracts that do not go past the end of this season. One of them is Kuminga, who's restricted.
Right.
Another one of them is Lindy Waters, who's making barely over $2 million. So a drop in the bucket if you're trying to make a trade work. The others are Schroeder, Payton, Looney.
There you go. Schroeder,
those are the
Peyton,
others.
Looney.
Yeah.
I think those are the first names right now to look at. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union for a low-rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. Remember, we are giving you the keyword that you need to claim a spot in the knockout tournament on the Chase Center court in less than 10 minutes. So just keep listening. Stay right where you are. And while you're listening, why don't you take a listen to this? Because I find this to be a multi-layered, very informative, important, up-to-the-minute update with regard to the Warriors and the trade market. This is from Brian Windhorst of ESPN. Listen to what he says, and he said this today, full well knowing that the Warriors beat the best team in the NBA just last night.
I don't necessarily agree with Steve Kerr. I think the 12-3 was a bit of a mirage, but I also don't think they were 3-8 like they just came off a recent stretch. I think there's somewhere in between there, and frankly, that's where they've been for a while, Malika. They were a play-in team last year. Right now, they're 11th. They're probably not 11th. They're probably something like 7th or 8th, but that's play-in zone. Now, in this game, which was a great game, it was a terrific performance, there was also a game where you saw Andrew Wiggins have one of his best offensive games of the year. Gary Payton II had one of his best offensive of games of the year. Kevon Looney as well. This is not really a replicatable situation, and that's one of the reasons why you keep hearing the Warriors' names in trade talks. And I know that a couple of weeks ago, Steph Curry said, we don't need to do anything desperate, and all of a sudden they were out. I'm telling you, in the last few days, I hear the Warriors are dipping their toes back in the trade market, looking to make a significant move, and not just necessarily for some of the names that you've heard in the past. So I think everybody is kind of riding the fence here, Malika, not sure which way this team goes. The one thing I do 100% agree with, Steph Curry. Sometimes low-level joy can be good, especially in January in the NBA.
Okay, so a few things stand out. Don't miss that statement he just made. Not only that the Warriors have dipped themselves back into the trade market, in many cases for names that you're not hearing. So, not Jimmy Butler, not Zion Williamson, not Zach LaVine, Nikola Vucevic. Man, what are the chances in the next 7 days? The breaking news sounder hits. Don't.
The Warriors have traded.
And you're like,
for
what?
Giannis.
Or like whatever. Yeah, I think there's a lot of conversations going on right now.
Sure seems like it.
A lot of conversations.
And he's referring exactly to what Steve Kerr said last night when Steve Kerr said, well, I know we have this in us. We were 12-3. We can play this way.
Remember something about Steve Kerr and what you hear him say, not just last night, but even with us? He's good, like, and that's why I keep saying my vibe, my gut is telling me that Steve knows something's about to happen. That's through the sound of his voice, but his words are always going to back the people he currently has.
No doubt.
Like, you heard him talk about, that's why it's so great that there's separation between the coach and the front office, because he's like, I'm not saying anything that my guys in that locker room are going to take as flippant disrespect, because A, I love them, and B, they might still be here next week.
Yeah. Even if he feels like there's a likely move,
right,
that you never, like Bob Myers said it, you get to the 10-yard line with the team and then someone rolls their ankle or some other team pulls out because they got a better offer elsewhere. Like, you could be about to hammer home the final details, getting set to send it over to the league, and then it all falls apart. So Steve Kerr isn't going to burn a bridge that he doesn't have to burn just yet. How many times have you, Dibs, me when I'm filling in, anybody at Chase Center pregame and postgame asked him a question and he essentially says, I've learned I'm not going to answer that question until I have to.
Yep.
And I do not have to answer that question yet.
Right. Right. Absolutely. And if he is in a spot where there's a quote where he's like, we cannot win without GP2. And then they trade GP2. And he's like, look, I meant what I said when I said it. We love him to death. He's a champion. It's going to be really hard for us to make up for his absence. At the same time, the organization felt like we needed to scratch this itch over here, and so you got to grit your teeth and do it so that we can give Steph Curry every chance he can to get into the playoffs again. Like that, I mean, he can do that quote. I expect him to do that quote.
Or for whichever player
for someone.
It is. Yeah.
For someone.
And no doubt he will.
Yeah.
His teammates will do the same exact thing.
Yep.
Did you hear what Trace Jackson Davis said about Kevon Looney? Let me find it here for you. Trace Jackson Davis, quote, he's the ultimate teammate, talking about Kevon Looney. It's his voice on the floor. It's him helping guys, teaching guys. But then some nights he'll have 18 points or 16 rebounds or 7 or 8 assists. He just does it all. He's the glue to our team. He's a part of this core, and he's been part of it for 10 years. You just don't throw that away. That's how the team feels about him.
Unless you do.
Unless you can get something that you think is better.
By the way, when it happens, because they're expiring deals, you're going to hear the exact same thing that they said when they traded DeAnthony Melton's contract. Hey, he's a free agent. We could just bring him back next year.
Well, and that's the other part of
this.
It's
true.
And it's I think, why the Zach LaVine conversation yesterday bugged me a little bit. I think Zach LaVine would make this Warrior team better. Obviously, it depends who you have to ship out to get it done. Wiggins would undoubtedly be a part of that. Part of what frustrated me about that is because the Warriors could have acquired Zach LaVine in the offseason, and they could have used Chris Paul's expiring contract to get it done. But they decided against that. And now you lose that contract slot entirely. That would have meant likely no Melton, no Slo-Mo, no Buddy Hield, because you wouldn't have had the space and get out of the repeater tax, luxury tax area. But you could have done that. Now you'd have to give up Wiggins to get it done. So as it relates to Looney and GP2 and hell, even Schroeder, if you don't use those contracts to get something more long-term, now they're free agents. You could sign him back again, but you don't know that.
Right.
If you don't use those contracts now, it's essentially use them or lose them. Are they worth enough right now to help you win basketball games right now? Or is it worth the risk of not being able to capitalize on that contract slot?
Let's go to Jan in Mountain View next up. Hey, Jan, what's going on? Thanks for calling.
Yes, listening to your conversation with Kerr, I came to the realization after you mentioned that I guess in the post game after the game last night, they threw a bucket of Gatorade or whatever it was. I wasn't tuning in then,
yep.
But I came to the realization that it's probably over and that Kevon and GP2 are probably going to be traded as well as Wiggins, unfortunately. And I guess that's the business side of the game, and we have to just live with it and hope that we get the best to help Steph Curry, because I guess that's the direction they're going.
Well, is it your preference that they would stay, Jan, even if they just continue to sit around 500?
Not really, but I really enjoyed that game last night.
Sure.
And they really, they've really showed a lot.
Jan, thank you. Yeah, look, again, that's what I think is about to happen, and the push-pull is going to be the basketball fan in you and the emotional fan in you. And I think that's what everybody is starting to prep the fan base for, which is, I get the basketball side of it, the emotional side of it, is not easy.
Look, there is no home run out there for the Warriors.
Yeah.
Even if there was a home run out there for the Warriors and it took Wiggins, Looney, and GP2, and everyone, 100% of people felt like the Warriors won the deal, it would still be hard to say goodbye to those players.
No doubt.
No, even if you felt like you got 100 times better, it's like, those guys won championships with us. They were a big reason why we won championships. They provided us with so many amazing moments. It would be difficult, even if there was a home run. There isn't a home run, so it's going to be difficult if it happens. But the reality is you need to be better because you are, simply put, just not good enough.
Especially Kevon Looney, by the way. Especially Kevon Looney.
That
watch
2022
him,
playoffs.
See him in a different jersey would not be easy. Safety on roads and freeways starts at Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Your 15-minute drive-through oil change for all vehicle types. Friendly technicians check fluids, wipers, lights, tires, and more while you stay in your vehicle. Locations and coupons at BayAreaOilChange.com. And also, here we go. We're giving you the keyword that you need to win a spot in the knockout tournament at Chase Center immediately. Coming up next, don't go anywhere. This is Willard and Dibbs.
Curry in the backcourt. Spins away from Lou Dort. Curry changes direction. Wants to hang on to the ball. See if they foul him. Takes to the baseline. Cruises by Hartenstein. Crossover dribble sheds Jay Williams of Santa Clara. Bumped by Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Curry comes back right. Chased by Jay Williams of Santa Clara. Throws it out, and with timeout, the Warriors call a timeout with 16.5 to go. Stephen Curry just ate up the clock.
We should have played Sweet Georgia Brown.
Exactly.
Globetrotters out there.
Now back to Willard. Now back to Willard and Dibs. Take it away, Mark.
That's right. Your only turnover was on the delivery of our names, and that's just fine by me. That whole thing just felt great last night.
It did.
Like, I'm trying to think of kind of what piece of that. Like, it wasn't just a win against the team with the best record. It was sort of, for anyone who's been a Warrior fan for more than a minute, it was all of the little individual things that make you enjoy Warrior basketball and kind of make you feel good. But I will say this, and I hope that this isn't, and I'm not trying, no pun intended, pouring water on the whole thing. Huh. But I sort of get the sense that last night might be the lasting memory that we have of some of these players in a Warrior uniform. I know they've got a few more games, but that might be sort of, you know, the signature goodbye for a Looney or a GP2, something like that.
I got thoughts on that, and I know we got some business to take care of, but really quick before we do that.
Yeah.
The Oklahoma City Thunder honestly have got to be a nightmare for radio broadcasters. You have two Jalen Williams, and every time you have to address them, you got to say what college they went to in order to figure out who's who.
They got to come
Jalen Williams of Santa Clara, Jalen Williams of Arkansas.
Somebody needs a nickname.
It's a tongue twister.
Someone needs a nickname.
They call Jalen Williams from Santa Clara J-Dub.
Oh, J-Dub, fine.
They call him J-Dub.
So just do that.
But
just do that. J-Dub and J-Dub too. I don't know. Like, just start using everybody's full initials. You already got SGA. What are their middle names?
I don't know.
No, let's find that out and figure it out. You know? Or it could be like what Tim Roy did a week and a half ago with Grady Dick of the Toronto Raptors, and he said from now on, he's Grady. So one of them could be Jalen, and one of them could be Williams.
Speaking of J-Dub,
yeah.
Jalen Williams from Santa Clara, he was just named a NBA Western Conference All-Star Reserve.
All-Star Reserve, exactly.
Yeah.
So someone called in earlier and was like, the Thunder don't have their number two because there's no Chet Holmgren. They have another All-Star on the team. Another All-Star.
Man, they are amazing.
They're fantastic. They're just fantastic. And SGA doesn't even make sense. I want to say that. Can I take 2 seconds on that? He doesn't make sense.
What do you mean?
Look at the NBA and their stars. And then if SGA walks into the room with that group, you're like, you? You're the one who scores the most? He is not overwhelming physically. He is not a great three-point shooter. He
is 6'6".
Right, which in the NBA is like, eh.
He's a big guard.
By the way,
big point guard.
He ain't 6'6".
He's pretty tall.
He could be listed as 6'6" all he wants, the same way Steph Curry ain't 6'4". Like, no, he isn't. He's a slight of build guy who's not a great three-point shooter. He's just brilliant with the ball in his hands.
Was Steph ever listed 6'4"?
I don't know. What's he listed
6'2".
At? Oh, okay. Then that's
my
that's,
height.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm as tall as Steph.
Yeah, it's a pretty tall show when Dibs is out. It is. Sorry. All right. Let's go back to the phones, but it's time to give out the keyword. Okay? You all been waiting. Thank you for your patience. Here we go. It's time to give out the keyword that you're going to need to claim a spot in the knockout tournament at Chase Center, which is coming up on March 3rd. Today's keyword is dribble. Shut up and use the keyword dribble. Sorry. The keyword is dribble. So sometime in the next 25 minutes. Ugh, don't call now, don't call now, don't call now, don't call now.
We already killed the line. Good. If you're the trying to call.
The lines are off. So if you call, you lose. But when you hear this sounder again,
That would be your cue to call the contest line. Mark down the contest line, 415-523-4652. 415-523-4652. Do not call now. It will get you nowhere. But have that number ready to go and have the keyword dribble ready to go. Because when you hear that sounder again, the first person to call in and give the correct keyword is going to be knockout tournament participant number 12. And we're going to keep doing this every single day, every single week for the next 2.5 weeks. Morning, noon, and night, 8 a.m. hour, noon hour, 4 p.m. hour. Come play basketball with us on the Chase Center court and make sure you are tapped in right now and stay exactly where you are because that sounder will be coming up again very, very soon.
Can I keep something real with you, Mark?
Oh, that's the only way that I like it.
I know that's what you and Dibs like to do. I'll join in on the act
okay,
here.
Keep it a buck. What do you got?
We're talking a lot about Warriors trades, and they might have to say goodbye to some emotional players.
Sure.
It's going to be difficult. We're talking specifically Kevon Looney and Gary Payton and Andrew Wiggins. For my purposes, this is more so about Kevon Looney and Gary Payton. Wiggins is obviously a valuable basketball player on this team. He's their second best player as currently constructed, especially without Draymond and Kuminga available. Wiggins is a good player. He's not a great player. He's a good player. This is specifically about Gary Payton and Kevon Looney. And Steve Kerr talking about how much they mean to the locker room, it's accurate. I'm not denying it. I'm not in the locker room. I guess I don't probably know the extent to with which they have that kind of positive impact. But clearly they have a positive impact. If the Warriors or anyone out there are saying no to potential deals for fear of the emotional goodbye to Gary Payton and Kevon Looney, you just need to come to terms with one thing. You do not care about winning above everything else. You care about feeling good and being happy, which is fine. That you could do that, but just know if you are saying no to potential deals because you don't want to say goodbye to Kevon Looney and Gary Payton II, you're not prioritizing winning over everything else. Gary Payton II is a player who has only played more than 50 games in his career once. More than 50 games in a single season in his career once. The one year it happened, the Warriors won the championship. We know that. But it doesn't happen all that often. Kevon Looney is the player who has been in and out of the rotation all season. Not because of health, but because Steve Kerr decided, you know what? Trayce Jackson-Davis is giving us more. Draymond Green at the five is working. And hell, he started Quentin Post over him last night. Like, I love Kevon Looney. I love Gary Payton II. And they are awesome Warriors. They will always be remembered as Warriors. But if you are hesitant to pull the trigger on a trade for a player like a LaVine or a Butler or a Zion or a Cam Johnson because you want to keep those players that make you feel good, fine. Just know you are not prioritizing winning basketball games.
I couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more. And I think that if you're in the NBA, you are aware of and used to the dynamic that leads to this. Let's say that you're Kevon Looney. You've been a teammate of Steph Curry's your entire career. You've never known life where you're not a Steph Curry teammate. How many years has Kevon played now? What are we at?
So is this the ninth year?
Eight or nine?
I'll figure it out
okay.
for you.
So you can play alongside Steph that long.
This is his 10th season.
Okay, 10th season. You can play alongside Steph that long and have that relationship and be the adult in the room and all the things that, you know, the core of our emotions, all the things that the Warriors have said he is. And then if you get traded next week, you know Steph Green lit that. That's a fact.
That's painful.
Right? But I think that that's their culture. They know this. This is what performance-based industries are like, and not all performance-based industries, because we're in a performance-based industry, but there's nobody on the air here that's going to walk into the boss's office and be like, make that move for me. We need to get better in the in such and such a time slot. Doesn't really work that way here, but in that world, I think you come to terms with that and you understand that Steph Curry is not what he used to be, and he's getting older, and it's just like, this is the time and space. I think you especially understand it when your contract is expiring. Like, you become valuable because of that.
Especially in today's NBA, yes, with the new CBA.
Yep. Yep. So, like, I think that they've totally come to terms with that possibility, and I'm with you, and I think Steph is with you, and everybody understands the score. Like, one thing I've also noticed, being at least close enough to know a few things about how the inside of a professional sports team works, my God, it is unemotional.
Hmm.
It is not like us. They not like us. They not like us. They are, I know Steve sounds it, and they are. It's not that they don't love those people, but man, they will cut you in a heartbeat or trade you in a heartbeat if for a second they believe that it makes the team better. It's just the way it has to be. Like right now, the 49er conversations the last 2 years have been like about Deebo Samuel. Like, maybe they still love him, maybe they don't, but like that goes from, boy, Kyle Shanahan fell in love with him at the Senior Bowl, and then he becomes his guy, and he's his best player, and Deebo this, and Deebo that. The second you lose a step, gone. Gone. And they will not even blink. That's the gig. That's the gig, man. So I'm with you. I'm with you. And I believe the Warriors are with you, too.
And, like, that's fun. You can feel that emotional tie, and you can want to be wrapped in the warm embrace of Kevon Looney for the rest of his career, yeah, and GP2, and keep as much of the game together as long as possible. Maybe you feel so emotionally wounded by Clay leaving that you just don't want to say goodbye to all that, and that's totally fine. Yep. But you then can't turn around and be frustrated by the team missing the playoffs this year when that happens.
I love that you brought that up. 650 just texted in the same thing, sort of speaking to all Warrior fans. If you can get over Clay leaving, then quite frankly, you get over anybody leaving as long as he's not named Steph. And I agree with that. I agree with that. Like, that felt weird for a while, and obviously the circumstances around it are different, yep, when someone leaves on their own accord as opposed to being traded. I know he was traded, but we know that he was leaving as a free agent. That does make it a little bit different. But that got wonky, weird, felt weird. Now he's just a Dallas Maverick. You know what I mean? It still feels different when you watch him play a little bit, but he's just a Dallas Maverick. That's just what it is. And everybody's moved on. He came back again. Did people remember that?
And he killed the Warriors.
He did, but like there were no sailor hats, no tears, no signing posters.
There was a couple sailor hats in the crowd left over from the previous visit.
Lucas, what did you call your little clam bake that you did outside Chase Center while we were doing the show? What was that called?
Clay Carnival.
The Clay Carnival.
Yeah.
I wanted to call it the Carnival. Nobody would do it with me.
Doesn't quite have the same ring.
Anyway, the second time around, there was no Carnival. It was just a Warrior game.
And he'll be here for a third time in less than a month.
Yeah.
February 23rd, when they retire Iggy's jersey.
Did they do that? Was that one of the reasons?
I would imagine.
Because Clay was there?
Yeah. I don't think that's a coincidence.
Let's go to Dirk in the city. Hi, Dirk. Thank you for calling.
Hey, guys. What's up? Big fan of the show. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks for calling, man.
Yeah, thanks for... Sure. Let me preface what I'm about to say by saying that I recognize Steph is a one-of-one generational talent. Dre is in rare air himself, but in a different way, I suppose, which makes the topic feel untouchable. But Bay Area teams seem to have a history of proactively moving off their dynasty star players. Think Niners, Steve Young, Joe Montana, Jerry Rice. I know this is a delicate one for us, and I'm a huge Steph lover, but how do we know when it's time to move away from these guys?
It's a wonderful question.
It's an amazing question.
And Dirk, I don't think there's any one answer to that. In this particular moment, all I'll tell you is that my read on the Warriors and their fan base, they are nowhere near there yet with regard to Steph Curry.
I feel the same.
Yeah. I don't think they're there yet. And I love your 49er analogy, but let's throw that over to the Giants. You bring up, like, often in Bay Area sports, we move on from our dynasty players. Well, the Giants sure never did. I mean, I know that Brandon Belt and Brandon Crawford ended up wearing other jerseys, but I'd argue they wrung those paper towels dry, man, before any of them left, and Buster Posey never did.
Mm-hmm. Double-edged sword, right? You can get in trouble if you fall in love too long, but you also have to move these guys while the talent is still there.
Big time. Hey, Dirk, thanks for calling, man. It's a wonderful question. When do you know it's the right time to move on from a legend?
Well, I mean, everyone always throws back to the Niners trading away Joe Montana. It helps when you got Steve Young waiting. The Warriors don't have a Steve Young waiting. At least they don't think they do. The Giants certainly didn't when they re-signed Crawford and Posey and Belt to those contracts.
The Niners are definitely, historically, I should say, the most cutthroat of the group. They've been the least sort of shiny, happy people about it. Part of that is that's football.
Better to trade a legend a year too early than a year too late.
And football has the most roster turnover, and they've got a
salary. You're kind of forced to be cut.
Yeah, it's a salary cap league, and there's, you know, you cut players every year. I mean, Eric Armstead was on the show, or on the station earlier today. He was on with Steiny and Goo. He's a great example. Eric Armstead's out there winning Man of the Year award. He's a great player. I know he was hurt a little bit too much there at the end of his Niner tenure. But, like, this is a guy who's performed for a long time. He's been to Super Bowls. And the Niners just waltzed in, and they're like, dude, pay cut? He's like, no. And they're like, okay, bye.
And then when he saw Fred Warner post a photo of him with Robert Saleh, when Saleh was named the new defensive coordinator again, he said, dang, I'm jealous.
Yep. Yep.
Still seems like he'd kind of want to hang around here.
Oh, I'm sure he does.
If the money was right, obviously.
Well, I wonder. Like, I mean, I think we've all experienced that, right? The grass is not actually greener when you go somewhere else.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Well, and especially when your absence is in Jacksonville. Like, they had an awful year. They were terrible this year, and nothing went right. And the decision that Eric Armstead made, again, you could say he was forced into it, but the decision that he made was probably made in a moment of sort of an ego crisis. Someone walks up to somebody who's a proud, like, glittering veteran, and they're like, dude, pay cut. Like, most people be like, no. Especially if there's another organization out there willing to offer you no pay cut. You know, Kyle Juszczyk, they're not all built like that. He was like, sure. Like, I'm bothered by it, but, you know, see it camp. Eric was like, no. And so you make that decision in that moment of ego, and I'm not saying it was a wrong one, but you do that, and then you've got to go live it. And I'm sure his experience in Jacksonville was very different than the experiences he had here.
They had a pretty bad year.
Yeah.
Didn't see, I mean the Niners did too, Niners, yeah.
But still different. You know, the cultures are totally different. They're totally different. And the Jaguars have been in a seemingly like an evergreen state of either coaching change or about to for like 7 or 8 years now.
Yeah, new head coach this year.
Again.
Liam Cohen.
It was almost Robert Saleh.
It was.
Maybe that's why Eric's jealous. It's like, I thought he was going to be my head coach. Now he's yours.
But dang, Liam Cohen had to lie to the Buccaneers about getting the job with the Jaguars.
Yep. Is that the way that went down?
It's a whole weird, crazy story.
I thought he was waiting for Balky to get fired, and then they went back to him, and he's like, okay, now I'll
look at it.
That
was part of it, but he had an offer on the table from Tampa to stay on as their OC, and they were going to make him the highest-paid coordinator in NFL history, and he was waiting to sign it. And unbeknownst to the Buccaneers, he was out in Jacksonville at another interview for the head coaching job.
By the way,
he had told them he was not.
I have no issue with that at all. I have no issue with that at all. You're going to ask me? I'm a free agent. You're going to ask me where else I'm interviewing? Kick rocks. That's my business. You don't tell me your corporate secrets.
Yeah, fair enough.
So, right? Do you tell me when you're about to fire me? I'm not going to tell you when I'm about to leave you. How about that?
Yeah.
I got no issue with that. My issue with Liam Cohen is that weird press conference where he started to yell, Duval.
Yeah,
that was awkward.
Really,
said it way cooler than he could.
I was so uncomfortable, and I didn't even like the way I said it. There's still
he did it so bad that you didn't even know what he was doing. Like, yeah, it's their Duval chant, Duval County in Jacksonville. You're like, what is he doing?
Yeah, what is he doing? But also, like, and I'm sure most of our audience, you have no idea what Liam Cohen looks like. Like, just, it was, he's
doesn't
just
strike
like,
me as a football guy.
No, yeah. I know. He's like an awkward, kind of like, he looks like your neighbor, and he's smiley, and like, he has kind of pudgy cheeks, and he's just kind of awkward with the way he talks. It's one of these guys that puts a suit jacket on, and you're like, dude, the shoulders are too big. Like, that doesn't fit you.
Yeah, you got to get fitted
right.
for that,
he's
Liam.
He's the opposite of Sean McVay. That's Liam Cohen.
No doubt.
Right? Anyway.
Anyway. It's hard to say bye to franchise legends and the guys that have given you so many good memories through the years.
But it's harder for us than it is for the team. And I say that being like, except for they know the person. We don't even know these people. So I'm sure it's very hard for them to part with their teammate and their friend, and they're not on the bus or the plane anymore. I get all that, but it's just baked into their culture, man. They're used to it.
The other thing Steve Kerr said, and you'll hear it again coming up in a little more than 20 minutes, is essentially, that's a good reason why there's a separation. He didn't say separation of church and state, but you can think of it the same way. He's the head coach, and then you got the decision makers in the front office. Obviously, Steve Kerr has a hand in that.
Of course.
But
it's the classic car salesman thing.
If Steve Kerr was in charge of the roster decisions, he wouldn't have said bye to anybody because he loves everybody.
Steve is in this case, he's the car salesman who's looking at you going, look, I want to give you $5,000 off that car.
He could also play.
But let me go talk to that. See that shadow of a man around the corner in that office? Let me go talk to him. I'll be right back. And then they do a fake conversation for about 2.5 minutes. And they know when to shake their head and nod their head and sort of like put their hands up at the end. And then he can come back out. I fought for you. Listen, the best I can do is $432 off. I tried. I'm with you. I want you to have that car. I want you to also be at the knockout tournament.
Let's go.
And there it is. Duval.
Yeah, don't do that.
Okay. All you need to do right now is call the contest line, 415-523-4652. Again, 415-523-4652. The first person to get through with the correct keyword that we gave you earlier this hour, you are in to the knockout tournament on the Chase Center floor March 3rd. Again, the contest line right now, 415-523-4652. Keep trying. Good luck. And if you don't get through, then we're back at it again tomorrow, 8 a.m. on the Morning Roast, noon with Steiny and Goo, and then 4 o'clock again with me and Grandy as we wrap the week. And then if you don't get it that day, you try again next week, and then you try again the week after that. We've got 11 more days of 3 times a day after this one. Okay? So keep on listening for your chance to win. Also, we're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. And as we mentioned, as Grandy just mentioned, coming up in less than a half hour, if you missed any of our wide-ranging conversation with Steve Kerr, that is still ahead right here on Willard and Dibbs.
Willard and Dibbs.
Sorry about my dog. Hey, cut it out.
I don't know if we've met your dog yet, Steve.
It sounds like she's a stretch four. Got some size to her in that bark.
More of a backup point guard.
On 95.7 The Game.
You know who was a dog last night?
Everyone.
The Warriors. A big one. Yet they won that sucker outright. It has led to many a question today. And some good conversation. We started off by asking, I think, the most obvious question, where the hell has that been? And then I think that leads to this question, is that a repeatable act? And you don't think so, and I don't think so. And in many ways, it almost makes what it feels like the reality, which is on the way, trade deadline next week. It makes it almost harder
in many ways, especially when you see the particular players who played so well last night, because they are the names that are coming up. They are the expiring contracts. They are the guys who've been with the Warriors for some time. Kevon Looney, GP2, Andrew Wiggins, they were all absolute restaurant quality last night. And here we are. And it makes you want to say, oh, if you can do that, then
you can beat anybody.
Then stay. But they can't do that. They usually don't do that.
So last night, you can literally look at three or four different players and make an argument, at the very least make an argument, they had the best game of their season. Kevon Looney, by a mile, best game of his season. Gary Payton II, by a mile, best game of his season. Andrew Wiggins has probably had a better game than last night, but you maybe could be convinced, based on the stakes and what was going into this game, that was one of his, if not the most impressive game of his season. 27 points and 5 of 8 from downtown. You could maybe also convince me that it was up there for Brandon Pajemski, one of the best games of his season. He was awesome. You might be able to convince me about Dennis Schroeder. He only scored 9 points, but as a Warrior, he had one of the best games that he's ever had as a Warrior. 9 points, 7 assists, 4 rebounds, was great defensively. So if you're asking me, was last night repeatable? You literally got best of the season performances from like 4 or 5 players. No, of course it's not repeatable. Yeah. Of course not. Are they capable of doing that on any given night? Yeah. You know how unlikely it is to get those performances from those players on the same night?
All at once, right.
We're talking about like something that happens once in a blue moon. Like almost never. Almost. It hasn't happened yet this year. Like this, I would bet, are we ever going to see, even if they were on the team for the rest of the year, see both Gary Payton and Kevon Looney score in double figures again this year? No. On the same game. Same game. Is that ever going to happen again this year?
Probably not.
No.
Probably not.
And I know they do more than just score, but they don't win this game last night without them scoring those points. 33 points from Looney and GP2 combined. I would have to do some sleuthing. I don't think they have ever combined for 30 points in a game before.
No, of course not. So, yeah, I think everyone's on the same page there. It just feels like we've sort of arrived at a moment, because there's so much that goes into a night like last night. A, really, really fun for the fans. B, you see a bunch of players do some things that you've really been waiting for them to do, and so you celebrate that. And actually, what I think I loved most about the game, if you want to dive into the X's and O's, was the Steph Curry aspect of how much pressure was not on him.
Mm.
The fact that there were options around the court. Not only did the ball seem to move, but Wiggins, so aggressive. Steph Curry getting pulled out of the game at the 8-minute mark. Steve Kerr admitting to us today he probably didn't like that very much, but he trusts Steve, and so he went to the bench, came back in. But that fourth quarter, to me, felt different than just about every other fourth quarter we've watched this year where the game is close and the opponent is good. And that is, and I couldn't even put a finger on why, those other fourth quarters, I've watched them all and thought, they're probably going to lose this game. And my God, it looks difficult for them to get a good look. Suddenly last night, that was not the case. I know that they had a couple of bad looks that turned into points, Kyle Anderson being the one that stands out the most. Yeah. That's not a great look. It's not a great possession. But majority of the possessions there in the fourth quarter, they were able to get good looks. It was multiple people getting those looks, and it did not look like Steph Curry just had the ball in his hands with everyone running at him and so much pressure on him and to the level of exhaustion. It didn't look like that. If you could bottle that up, great. I doubt that you can, but that's what you're looking for. And so the question isn't like, can these guys do this most nights? I think the obvious answer is no. It's can you find some other people to where that is more of the norm, and if you can, you got to grit your teeth and do it.
When Steph got subbed out, you referenced when Steve Kerr pulled him out, and Steph was shaking his head as he walked to the bench, and as he sat on the bench, it was like maybe 30 seconds worth of Steph shaking his head. 8:18 left in the fourth quarter, Warriors were up by 1. What did you think was about to happen when Steph subbed out with 8:18 left, Warriors up by one?
I can't tell you I thought they were going to win, but I can tell you that for whatever reason, and this I'm not some sort of a psychic or something. It's obviously a vibe that was coming from the game. I was convinced by that point in the game that this thing was going down to the end. Something about the way the Warrior energy last night was at a level to where I thought this was going down to the end. So what did I think was going to happen? The thought that went through my head was, huh, that's interesting. But at the same time, I'm like, we got a barn burner. This is not going to be decided until the last minute of the game.
My thought was generally, oh, God, when Steph comes back in, I just hope they're within 5 points.
Well, they're always within 5 points. They lead the league in the clutch games.
True. So then what happened while Steph was on the bench was an incredible surprise to me, because while Steph was on the bench, he came back in for an offensive possession, but that was the Pajemski deep jumper from the right wing, and then he came out for defense and then came right back in for the next offensive possession. So once he was in for good, there was 3:40 left and the Warriors were up 104-98. So in the less than 4 minutes that Steph sat on the bench, about 3.5 minutes that he was on the bench, the Warriors outscored the Thunder 10-5.
Wow.
Shocking.
That's not the norm. That's not the normal
Warrior
basketball.
Be within five when Steph comes back in with about four to go, and then you got a shot. But they added to the lead, not just by a point, not by two, by five.
So to the point you're making, and I thought this was one of the key moments of the conversation with Steve Kerr, which you will hear in its entirety in about 10 minutes. And oh, by the way, congratulations to Man Roop in San Jose.
Hey!
That's our winner.
Way
That's
go,
our
Man
12th
Roop.
Winner. We will meet you, Man Roop, at Chase Center March 3rd. For the rest of you, keep on trying. 8 o'clock tomorrow, noon tomorrow, 4 o'clock tomorrow, to see if you can win your way in. We really want to see you there. It's a lot of fun. But one of the key moments of the Steve Kerr conversation was when you asked him about these kinds of guys, the Kevon Looneys and the GP2s of the world. They're known as glue guys, culture guys, long-term warrior guys. And so they are clubhouse guys. And there is a sort of a touchy-feely nature to that idea. But I think we also all agree they're not the most outwardly talented people that have ever worn an NBA jersey. So you asked Steve to sort of balance those two things together, and what helps a team more? How do you balance the idea of culture players versus raw talent? Listen to this answer.
Well, we know talent wins in this league. It doesn't mean you're guaranteed to win if you have talent. If you don't have enough talent, you can't go anywhere. That's just the reality. So the question, you know, we have to ask ourselves, and Mike and the front office have to ask themselves, is do we have enough talent? You know, and that's a tricky question to ask, because on some nights, like last night, you go, hell yeah, we do. Like, that looked great, you know. But then other nights, you know, it's clear, like, you know, Steph could use a little help scoring-wise, or we could use this, or we could use that. And then, of course, you sit there and you look at all the options, and you have to determine, does this really help us? And that's what this time is all about, Mike, is, you know, gathering all the information, all the possible trades he can make, and going from there.
I mean, he just sounds like a guy to me that realizes that nights like last night are just flat-out too few and far between. That's it.
Steve's been around the game for a very long time. He knows when he has enough talent or when he doesn't.
Okay, so he also said this.
Well, I mean, I was a GM once for a few years. Not a very good one, but I was a GM, so I know exactly what Bob is talking about. And that's the tricky part of all this. You know, if you're a team like us, you know, good, not great, that's in the mix but needs to do better, it's a really tough thing to quantify. You know, what do we need to do to get better? What do we need to do to take a step? And there's no question, when you see a game like last night, the temptation is, man, like, let's just keep going like this. And why would we do anything? But Bob's right. You can't just look at one game or two games. You've got to look at the full picture. And that's what Mike and his staff are doing. It's also why I think it's healthy to have a separation between the, you know, management and the coaching staff, because you know, as coaches, you're very married to the moment. It's up and down all year long, and I think management, it's a little easier for them to sort of take the view from above, a little more perspective, and really get, you know, get the information all season long that they need to determine what they're going to do.
All right. So, you know, again, to me, the energy that you keep getting out of this conversation is that when he refers to looking at last night's win and saying that there's a temptation.
This is exactly what I circled.
Well, what does that word do for you? Like, when you say the word temptation, you know, your mind goes to what? Casinos and alcohol, or, you know, going to the bar too late, or dessert, or, you know.